Breaking every chain is part of what Easter is about too. Through Christ's death and resurrection, we are freed from sin and death. Those chains are broken forever. That's the good news of Easter. Last week, we celebrated Easter Sunday. We celebrated the power of Jesus' resurrection, and we talked about how that life that we have in Jesus Christ is available to us now. We are also born into that new life. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be exploring what that means, and we're going to do that by looking at the life, death, and resurrection of a very ordinary guy by the name of Lazarus. And I'm really looking forward to this. And I have been looking forward to this this sermon series now, as I said, for a long time. One of the questions that comes up a lot that I hear about faith and I hear about the Bible is, what happens to us after we die? And with that in mind, I thought I'd start off with this old story. Some of you may have heard this before. Three people die, and they all go to heaven at the same time, and they're standing before the pearly gates. And of course, they're met there by Saint Peter, because that's who meets people apparently when they go to heaven. But he's really busy that day, and he says, "Listen, I've got things I need to take care of. You're just gonna have to wait." And he goes off, does whatever he needed to do elsewhere, and then comes back. Long time later, he comes back, and he calls the first one of the three that were there into a kind of an adjoining room, and he says, "Listen, I'm really, really sorry about making you wait. Is that okay?" And the woman said, "Oh, yeah." She says, "I've believed in Jesus all my life, and now I get to meet him, and I couldn't be happier to be here." And he says, "Okay, well, I just have one quick question for you then. How do you spell God?" And she says, "That's easy, capital G-O-D. And he says, "Very good, go right in." So he calls the second person in, and the gentleman comes in, and he says, "Listen, really sorry about making you wait. I hope that's okay." And he says, "I've been looking forward to this, actually, for a long time, and now I get to spend an eternity here in heaven. I couldn't be happier." St. Peter said, "Well, that's great." He said, "Just one quick question. How do you spell God?" And he said, "G-O-D. I mean, capital G-O-D. And St. Peter said, "That's absolutely right. Go right in." So he calls the last person in. A woman comes in, and St. Peter again apologizes for running so late and making her wait so long, and he says, "I hope that's all right." She says, "Well, actually, it's not all right." She said, "I have had to wait all my life. I've had to wait at the supermarket. I've had to wait in traffic. I had to wait at the doctor's office, and I really don't appreciate having to wait in heaven, too." And St. Peter said, "Well, that's perfectly all right for you to feel that way. I just have one quick question for you. How do you spell Czechoslovakia?" You know, we don't really have a whole lot of control over what happens to us after we die. I mean, that's a fact. But we do have a lot of control over what we do in this life and what we focus on and what our attitude is. And the fact is, Easter is as much about this life and the choices that we make in this life and how much we allow God to come into our life and affect our life in this life as it does in the next. And as I said, we're going to be exploring what that looks like to come alive in Jesus Christ. And we're going to do that by talking about the character of Lazarus. Once again, left this out. The whole point of the matter is that we can begin a new life in Jesus Christ, and we can begin that life right now. We don't have to wait until we die. And like I said, we're going to do that by focusing on Lazarus, whose story originates in John chapter 11. If you read the story there, just kind of a quick refresher on Lazarus. At the beginning of that chapter, Mary and Martha, who were also friends and followers of Jesus, send word to Jesus that their brother Lazarus is ill, unto death. We don't know why Lazarus didn't just pick up and, or Jesus didn't pick up and go right away, but he doesn't. He lingers where he was at. Eventually he goes, but some people have suggested that maybe one of the reasons he didn't go right away is because he knew that it was dangerous for him there. Bethany was just a stone's throw away from Jerusalem, and he knew that there were people at this point in his life who were gunning for him there. And even Thomas knew this. So when Jesus made the announcement that they would be finally going to Bethany, Thomas, the twin called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." So apparently it was pretty common knowledge that this was going to be a dangerous trip. In fact, it might be the last trip, and it was. But once they get there, they find out that Lazarus has already been dead now for 4 days. Dead and buried, because they, in Jewish tradition, you bury a person before sunset that same day. So he'd been in a tomb now for 4 days. And Jesus, he sees that the people are grieving and they're mourning, and he gets caught up in that. And we have those famous words, the one shortest verse in the Bible, just two words: Jesus wept. And he expressed his humanity in that moment. And we see Jesus being caught up in that. But then he does something that was really kind of unexpected. He asked them to roll the stone away from the tomb. Much the way the stone would be rolled away from his own tomb in probably about a week's time. I mean, it was getting pretty close at this point. People warned Jesus, saying, "Hey, you know, he's been in there for 4 days. It's probably going to stink. You need to know that." But Jesus doesn't pay any attention to him. He says, "Lazarus, come out." And of course, we know that Lazarus does. He is raised to new life. And normally, this is where we kind of stop paying attention to Lazarus' story, because this is kind of the whole point. But the story doesn't end there. Lazarus goes on. And he pops up again several times in John's gospel. And those are going to be the texts that we look at. Because apparently his resurrection caused quite a stir, as you might imagine. And we see that in verse 45, beginning at verse 45 of chapter 11, where we read, "Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the council and said, 'What are we to do? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation.'" So what we see happen here is that Lazarus goes from being a friend of Jesus to being that guy that Jesus raised from the dead. And then he goes from being that guy that Jesus raised from the dead to being a living symbol, a sign of Jesus' power. And we see that in verse 45, where it says, "Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him." So people were seeing Lazarus, but they were believing in Jesus. Lazarus was a sign pointing in the direction of Jesus' power to bring life out of death. But then we see another transition happen in the same text. He goes from being a sign of Jesus' power to bring life out of death to being a threat to the whole Jewish race, basically. And we see that in verse 48, when the chief priests and the Pharisees say, "If we let Jesus go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation." And so they began plotting against Lazarus, and they began plotting against Jesus to kill him. And so Thomas was right. Making this trip to Bethany was going to be dangerous for them, and certainly did kind of point to the end of Jesus' ministry and to the end of his life. And so Lazarus becomes then a symbol for life, a threat to the Roman Empire, but he becomes a symbol of life out of death for those who loved him and believed in him. And on this Sunday after Easter, I want you to know that you can live a Lazarus life too. That's kind of the whole point of this. When we allow Jesus to come into our lives, we can be a sign to others of what Jesus can do. They can look at us, and our lives are going to point in the direction of God's life-giving power. And I've seen this happen a lot of times in my ministry. I've seen people come alive. I've seen Jesus be able to bring life out of death and bring the best situation out of what seems like a hopeless situation. And I want to share with you a story of something that happened to me in a church that I served 25 years ago now, so it's been a long time ago, and I was pretty young and really green and inexperienced, and I was called to my first job as a senior pastor, and I was not even 30 years old yet, and it's kind of a scary time, and then, of course, everything kind of seemed to blow up. I won't go into everything that happened, but one of the things that happened in the first 3 weeks in this small community was that one of our members, a young man in our congregation, was arrested for arson. And that itself would be kind of a big deal, but it was kind of bigger than that because there was other things involved. He was a custodian at the local school. He was a volunteer fireman. And he did a little bit work for the church, too. He would come in every night at church, and he would go and lock all the doors, shut the windows, if any were open, turn off the lights, that kind of thing, make sure it was all locked up. Turns out what he was doing was he was setting fires in the dumpsters at school, and he would come to church, and he would call in the fire anonymously, and then he would go and put the fire out. And he would get to be a hero, and I think they even paid him a certain amount for every fire call they went on. So, yeah. It was a bad situation for him. He lost his job at the school. He got kicked off the volunteer fire department, obviously. And, of course, when the media got a hold of this, it really blew up. You can imagine that, arsonist fireman, not something that you see every day. So it made it into the news headlines in the Toledo Blade. They must not have had a big news week that week, but headlines on the biggest newspaper in the area. And in the meantime, I'm trying to figure out, now what do I do as pastor, and how do we respond as a church? Unfortunately, that church showed me. It was an amazing congregation, and it still is. They showed me what to do. Instead of abandoning him, which maybe some churches would have done, they didn't. They surrounded him with love and forgiveness, and they took care of his family. And they supported him, and they helped him get the help that he needed. And he needed help, and he knew that. And he got the help that he needed. Of course, he wound up in jail for a while. But the amazing thing to me about this story is that instead of being a warning sign to the world, he became a sign of hope and resurrection for people. Because at the end of the story, his life was actually better on the other end of this than it had been before. Isn't that amazing? He got a better job than he'd ever had before. He was able to walk around that town and hold his head high because he really was a new man. And from that point on, he became a sign of hope, a sign of life and resurrection. And I said, I learned a lot from that. And that's something I've experienced in my own life, too. And probably a lot of you have as well. I know in the town where I went to high school and graduated from high school, which is up in Madison County, Iowa, Earlham, Iowa, a little town. When people hear that I went on to become a minister, people still shake their heads in disbelief. And it wasn't because I was really a bad kid. I wasn't a bad kid. I just wasn't a very serious kid at all. If there was a party going on or if there was goofing off going on, you can guarantee that I would have been there in the middle of it. And so, yeah, the fact that Turner kid went on to become a minister just doesn't click with people. So at my 10-year class reunion, so this would have been almost exactly at the time this all was going on in Northwest Ohio in my ministry, I came back for this reunion, and we met at the city park for a picnic on a Sunday afternoon. And we were eating, and our families were all there, and this kid who was about a year behind us happened to be walking by the park, and he saw us there, and he came over, and he started up a conversation, and of course, he hadn't seen me, didn't know what I was doing, and so he asked me, what are you doing now? And I said, oh, I'm a pastor. And he looked around to see if anybody else was laughing. And he was pretty sure he was going to be the butt of a joke at that point, which kind of goes to show you where my life had been pointing earlier in my life. And I do regret the fact that I may have pointed in the absolutely the wrong direction for some people. But if God can use even that Turner kid to be a sign of his loving and forgiving and healing power, then God can use you too. That's the good news. In fact, God doesn't just want to come into your life. God wants your whole life to stand for something, to point to something beyond itself, to point to something even greater. That's what God wants. Of course, that's what a sign does, is it points beyond itself. That's what God wants you to do, to point beyond yourself to the power of a risen Savior, of a living God who is with us, who can do miracles in our lives and in the lives of others. If you are in Jesus, you're already living a Lazarus life. I want you to know that. If you are in Jesus, you are already a sign. And if you're not, you can be. That's the good news. All you have to do is answer when he calls. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the second chances and the third chances and the tenth chances that we get in this life, that you love us enough to extend your grace and your mercy to us, that you love us enough to bring us from death to life, from sin to a life of righteousness, or one that at least seeks that always. Bless us as we seek to live the Lazarus life, the risen life, because of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.